about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Yay, knee pads!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What the hell is this guy saying? Yeah, what is this? He's obsessed with death? He's some Mr. Deathmeister? Get real. Who's this guy? He hates animal voices? Then he goes in the other room? He does animal voices? Yeah, right. Who's this guy? What does he hate? Glee? Who hates Glee? It's the most popular show on TV. I love Glee. Glee is the most amazing thing ever. And who's this guy? He thinks he's psycho? What's he, Mr. I'm psycho? Like he's that Halloween show, Psycho? And he likes the gays? And who's this other guy? What did you do? What the hell is that? No way. What did you do?
And now,
what are you talking about? The show's good.
No.
What?
It's not good.
It's good.
And yet, it's not.
Our feature presentation.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, drinking out of cups guy. I miss him. I miss that. That drinking out of cups thing was funny. And we came to it like 5 years late.
Yeah, yeah. It hasn't existed for 5 years, right. But to us it's new and now we miss it because there isn't more of it.
No way. Not ever. Now he's Johnny Hanna sticks. I'm run away like he's freaking Tommy Noble.
Just a guy high watching TV.
What the hell's he doing? What is this garbage? This guy's a f***. No way. No way. Get real. F*** you.
It's the best.
I wish I had a friend like that.
You'd just be there all day.
I'd videotape every single conversation we ever had.
Get real. I'm in love with seahorses. I'm in love with them. They're so beautiful and cute. I'm in love with the seahorses. They're f***ing unreal. I love them. They're like all the clocks. I love them. I love seahorses, and I love looking at them, and I love seashells. I love seashell things. I love things with seashells and seahorses on them, like blankets and towels and little bags. I love them. Seahorses. Forever. What does this guy think? He's an Indian? What is he, a goddamn asshole? What the f*** are you doing? Not ever. No way. Now he's Johnny Hanna sticks. I run away like he's freaking Tommy Noble. What the hell's he doing? Thinks he's got it going, bossing over. No way. No way. What is this garbage? What is this? Oh, I'm king of the trees. I'm the tree meister. I count on them. Well, sometimes I pry, I like to steal. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. This guy's a f***. Guy's some sort of f*** Indian in the teepee. Well, this guy thinks he's Captain Knots. Thinks he's Captain Tying Knots. When everyone needs some knots tied, they go to him. Bullsh**. Bullsh**. This woman's such a bitch. Thinks he's Miss Sand. Drinking out of cups. Being a bitch. I bet her fist. I bet her fatalisk. Burned. Patterskum patted a little kid in the background. Going crazy. Who's this guy? Mr. Balloons. Mr. Balloon Hands. No way. No way. Get real. Like those things. Mr. Walkway. Mr. Walk Down Me. I'm the walkway. Lead me to the building. You. 5643. Yeah, right. You're some stupid bitch. Who paid for that floor? Not me. No way. Another day of no floor ever again. Not once, not never. Nope. Whose chair is that? Who bought that goddamn chair here? It's not my chair. Not my chair, not my problem. That's what I say. No way.
He's the best.
I don't think I would hang out with that guy.
Are you kidding?
I don't think I would.
I would hang out with him all day.
First of all, the accent is so bad. I mean,
that's annoying.
It's why I can't even listen to Opie and Anthony, because they both talk like that. It just drives me crazy.
Those are the DJs in the East Coast? Is that where they're from?
Yeah, they're on satellite radio now, okay. New York City DJs, who both have that horrible accent, and I hate it so much. Second of all, I think a little of that guy would go a long way. I don't think I would go back to that guy's house the next night, is what I'm saying.
I would go back the next morning.
I know. You would invite him to move in with you and your family.
I would have him move in. Yeah. Whose floor is that? Not mine. I'm not paying for a floor, never. Well, who asked you to?
Anyway, if you want to see the very funny animated video that goes along with that, just you can go to the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundups. It's from one of last year called Drinking Out of Cups. Hey, do I have a time for a story real quick?
Yep.
Here's a woman in Michigan, Pontiac, Michigan. And look, I know a lot of people who get arrested for doing stupid things. Well, they don't necessarily have a plan. They don't necessarily think things out very well. Jerry Perkins is her name. She's 30 years old. She is 5'2", Psycho Mike, and weighs 400 pounds.
Wow!
You know, that weight, it doesn't matter how tall she is.
Wow!
Yeah, you're right. You're right. She could be 6'8 and 400 pounds. Yeah.
Right, but 5'2".
5'2", 400 pounds. So she's on because, you know, she can barely walk. She's on one of those little motorized carts. So she's at a department store in Michigan, and she decides she's going to shoplift. So she loads herself up with about $600 worth of electronics.
All right.
And then she feels like, and this makes sense to her, this is a plan that's going to work, this is can't miss, won't fail. She feels like she's just going to ride her little motorized scooter right out the door with $600 worth of electronics on it, right? Figuring who's going to stop a poor woman on a wheelchair, right, essentially. Well, of course, it's still going to buzz. Of course, you're still going to set off the theft alarms, right?
Yeah.
Just because you're sitting down doesn't mean that it's not going to read the merchandise that you're trying to steal. So the loss prevention officer comes up and she puts up her fist like she's going to fight and she starts swinging away.
All right.
And again, she just keeps making one bad decision after another, because what do you think at 5'2 and 400 pounds, what do you think you're going to be able to do to the people who are trying to take you away and get the merchandise that you're trying to steal off of your wheelchair?
Yeah, and you can't go after them.
Right.
Really?
Right.
So they have to come to you.
So she's cursing out the sheriff's deputy is called and arrives, and then she's trying to fight with him, and she ends up being arrested for unarmed robbery, resisting and obstructing a police officer, and second degree retail fraud. Just not a well thought out plan. I don't know why. I mean, did she think she's in a bubble? She's got a force field around her. She can't be seen. Does she think she's invisible? At what point did she think this was ever going to work?
I don't know, but I'll tell you, I've been in stores. I'm not exaggerating, 20, 25 times when that alarm goes off,
mm-hmm.
and I know that I haven't taken anything, so I just keep walking.
And no one ever does anything.
Ever.
Yeah. That's true. It's happened to me.
It's the most worthless alarm ever. Did she stop? She should have just kept going.
Well, yeah, that's a good point, by the way. They probably wouldn't have come after her. Somebody would have thought about it, and then once she got through the front doors into the parking lot, they would have gone, what's the word?
Some of these places, the alarm goes off when anyone walks out the door, and you go, seriously, fix that. No one's paying attention to it.
And they might have also assumed that it was her wheelchair or her little motorized cart that set it off, too.
If it's a large retail store, believe me, if she's stealing $600 worth of stuff, they knew she was stealing $600 worth. I mean, like,
Think they had an eye on her before she got to the door?
From working at other retail places, they're watching you, and they know, especially if you're stealing that much merchandise, they're very well aware. They're sitting there watching you on camera, just waiting for you to leave so they can bust you.
Yeah,
they probably knew Kevin didn't steal stuff when he walks out, and that
yeah, maybe
goes
so
off. But I would be so happy if I'm a security guard and a 5'2", 400 pound bitch takes a swing at me, because I can just sit there and punch her out. Like, I mean, that'd be like the best body
you
bag ever.
Punch her out
if she's swinging at you.
You'd what stand could she there and do? You just step back 5 inches.
You would
and
step
reach
back
you.
And just
how
laugh.
How awesome would that be?
Well, wouldn't it be cool awesome at all?
With a short little stumpy arm, she's swinging at you.
Yes,
you
that'd be.
Right to sit there.
That'd like be 11. Funny. I would laugh at her, but I wouldn't hit her.
20 hit
no.
combo.
No way. Not never.
And by the way, while we're talking about those alarms that are mostly ignored when you walk out of a store, how about a shout out for car alarms that are one of the most worthless inventions ever, too? Because what does somebody do when a car alarm goes off? Nothing. Keep on walking.
They figure the car got touched.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No one even looks.
Yep, no one even looks. You never think somebody's trying to steal that car. You just think some a-hole's alarm is going off. I wish he'd come back to his car and shut it off.
Yeah. That did backfire one time, though, because I walked out of a clothing store and it went off, and I was like, whatever. Just kept walking, and I got home, and it had the little security thing on me. You can't get off without the...
Oh.
Because it has some kind of dye in it. So then So then I had to go back to the store and say, oh, my friend, I took this, still has it. Can you take it off?
So the one time you shoplifted, you got away with it and still had to go back to the store.
No, I didn't shoplift. I bought it. I didn't steal
it. But Yeah, right. Not now.
No way. Not ever.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow.
Okay. Not a part of today's show, but all right. We have a new Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day we think you'll like. We're going to tell you about Watson. I don't know if you watch Jeopardy. I don't, as I already feel dumb enough that I don't need a TV show to beat me over the head with it. But they've been had a computer on named Watson all week.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been Watson has been trying to compete with two of the best ever in Jeopardy.
Ken Jennings did the funniest thing last night, Kevin. I already told Lisa off the air, but he was one of the two. He's the guy who won the most nights in a row on Jeopardy, and the other competitor was the guy who's won the most money on Jeopardy. They were the two that were going up against the computer. So on the final Jeopardy question last night, Ken Jennings writes the answer, and he gets it right, as all three of them do. And then he writes underneath it, "I, for one, welcome our new computer overlords."
That's and funny.
You rarely laugh out loud at Jeopardy, but I thought that was pretty funny from a mere human who had just been destroyed by a computer.
That's Ralph's fear, by the way, is that this is the computer that's going to take over. We're all going to have to say that someday.
And it's also pretty smart of Ken Jennings, by the way, to start the early alignment with the other side. Rather than just resist it, rather than fight it, rather than trash talk Watson, he's already saying, "Hey, I'm on your side. Take me with you when you rule the earth."
Kiss ass. He's already in there just brown nosing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do-it-yourself medical care. Love that. Whether you're afraid of a dentist or a doctor, you don't have coverage, you don't have money, whatever. A lot of people just say, "I'll do that myself. I can fix that." That's not a problem. Speaking of which, we have Dr. Drew on the program today, as we do every Thursday. The royal wedding coverage. We, for reals, do not get it. We don't understand the interest. It's not till late April, and yet there's a story in the news every day about the preparations. And
every channel's got a countdown. 82 days till the royal wedding, and every day there's another angle of what they're going to be serving and what they're going to be wearing and where it's going to be and who's going to be there and on and on and on and on and on. Look, if my brother were getting married in 82 days, I wouldn't care. Why do I care about these random people in Europe that I don't know?
I don't know. I really...
But they must think there's a huge audience for it because they're devoting so much TV time so far out.
Yeah, it's crazy. Every single day. Doesn't make any sense to us. So we'll talk about that today on the Kevin and Bean Show as well. We will take a break and we'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. That is next.
That's Arcade Fire here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They're Canadians like Justin Bieber. Ralph, you think they hate America as much as little Justin does?
No. I think they're cool with us. They're not mentally deficient the way little Justin is.
And if they did, they'd keep it to themselves, I'm sure. Just from a perhaps PR standpoint.
Yeah, maybe they do, but we'll never know because they're smart enough to keep their opinions to themselves and not talk about how to rape victims. Sometimes things just happen and everything happens for a reason.
For a reason, yeah.
Rape victims.
And we're evil. Neon Trees, Red Hot Chili Peppers, of course, and Social D all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. First look at what the celebrities are up to for a Thursday. What's happening?
Well, since you brought up the Biebs, apparently he wasn't the only one upset at the Grammy Awards Sunday night when he lost for Best New Artist. His rumored girlfriend, Selena Gomez, was reportedly livid at Donnie Wahlberg. Well, aren't we all? Why? But she had a particular reason. He hinted that they were a couple when he was on stage. Couple.
They presented together, and he made some sort of snarky remark to her, I guess.
Yes. And word is she cursed up a storm backstage.
Don't you dare say you're with me.
That kind of thing? Well, not with me. Donnie Wahlberg presented with Selena Gomez,
right.
And then he alluded that Selena was with Justin Bieber, her boyfriend.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm sorry.
And she was livid that he would make a mention of her private love life while on stage.
Yeah.
Cursed up a blue streak, and then promptly turned on her heels and walked away from him.
Hmm.
To which he said, "You know you're Selena Gomez, right?" No word on how she responded.
I hope she came back with, "You know you're a new kid, right?"
Yeah, but she's still Selena Gomez. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But new kid. I mean,
and if you're embarrassed about dating Justin Bieber, then don't date him. That might be the answer.
Yeah.
And if you go on a date with Justin Bieber, by the way, the Beeb says a lot of his friends, the ones who were boys, take their girls to scary movies so they can get a little cuddle time in the theater, get a little close up, get a little, "Oh, I'm scared, hold me." But he says he's just too scared.
Oh, wow!
Of horror movies, so he only goes to comedies.
Oh!
Do you see down
there? He's a little
there.
Flimsy.
He is the flimsiest. He's tissue paper.
Do you shave down there?
He doesn't have to. Because he's a Ken doll.
He really is.
Oh. Oh, I... Oh, I
did you bring condoms with you?
Oh, I have such disdain.
Well, it's really one of those things where it's better to be... Well, what's the saying? It's better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and...
Yeah. Better be thought an idiot than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Right.
Yes.
He should learn that quickly.
I'm scared, so I go to comedies.
All my friends go to movies and girls.
You should go to your documentary of your life. I heard that's hilarious. Jack Nicholson's the dude. He's the man.
Yeah.
He's the guy.
He really
he's the guy so much so that even though he's still Jack, he's aware enough to recognize that he's not the Jack he once was.
Okay.
Recent interview with Us Weekly magazine, I thought it was great. He said, there were points in my life where I felt oddly irresistible to women. I'm not in that state now. And that makes me sad. At least he knows he's aging, and he's still Jack. He's even cooler because he recognizes that he's not the Jack from 30 years ago or 20 years ago.
If you were irresistible to women your whole life, there's no way you would turn around and understand that.
And trust me, he can still get plenty, but he knows he's not the Jack in his prime in the 70s when he could just click and point.
Or is it the best game ever? Where he says, oh, yeah. No, I'm not
look, so... I know Jack's not hurting for lady companionship.
Yeah.
But better that level of self-awareness than the guys like Stallone who take the HGH and lift all the weights and dye their hair jet black and walk around and try to pretend they're 35 years old. That's just an embarrassment.
Yeah.
So Jack, he's old, he's fat, and he's all right with it.
He's cool with it.
He's cool with it. Thought this was an interesting list. Speaking of Sylvester Stallone... Us Weekly magazine gave us a list of 25 stars who paint. Painting is a very popular hobby
who paint
for celebs because it makes them feel pseudo-artistic, I feel. If they can say, well, you know, I have a studio and I do a lot of painting as well. I'm not just an actor. I'm not just a singer.
I'm not a Renaissance man.
I'm not just a fill in the blank. You know, I paint. I also paint. I've got lots of paintings that I do because I paint and I also paint.
Right.
They don't mention that. Most of them suck.
Right. You never see it.
And sometimes you do, and it sucks. But if you read the list, you can tell who sucks and who doesn't.
Okay.
Like, for example, Tony Bennett, legendary singer Tony Bennett.
Probably decent.
Has been a singer for a long time and has been a painter for a long time. By all accounts, is a very accomplished painter as well as a singer. So he's got that going for him. Sylvester Stallone.
Horrible.
That's what I'm saying. Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones.
Horrible.
Paul Stanley of Kiss.
Horrible.
Terrible, the worst.
Lindsay Lohan.
Horrible.
John Mellencamp.
Horrible.
He might be okay.
All right. How about Jim Carrey?
Horrible.
How about J-Wow from the Jersey Shore?
A plus.
Genius.
A plus.
She's a...
10 out of 10.
She's a savant?
No, she's terrible.
Jeff Bridges. Probably good, right?
Probably decent.
Because he's a great photographer. He's a very artistic guy. He writes music. He's got a lot going on. Smokes a lot of weed. He's probably got a lot of interesting visions we want to see.
Probably not bad.
Probably not bad. David Bowie.
Yes.
I'm guessing he's probably pretty good.
Yeah, on the really weird side, though.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure he's out there, but I bet he's got some interesting stuff
to paint. I can see that.
Bob Dylan. How do you think Bob is as a painter?
Well, he used to be good, but now you can't see what it is.
Can't make it out anymore? Ashley Simpson Wentz.
Horrible. Really bad.
Yeah.
That's why they got divorced.
Their paintings were scaring the children. And Anthony Hopkins. I'm guessing it's probably pretty good.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's funny. You can tell just by reading names who do you think is good and who is bad. Of course, we could be wrong, but it's fun to mock them.
That's always the case. We could be wrong, but we just present it like we're not.
We just keep pushing on.
Yeah.
I'm surprised David Lynch isn't on there because he's had a lot of gallery showings and everything.
There's 25 names on the list, so I just kind of briefly went through
some
of them.
You know,
there's also Eve Plum from the Brady Bunch I didn't get to. I didn't mention her.
Mm.
James Franco's also on the list. Paul McCartney. So
I'll bet Franco's okay.
I bet he is, too.
You know.
He seems like another guy who's got a lot of talent and a wide range of interests.
Brandon Boyd from Incubus is excellent. Like, I know that he rivals his music career with his painting.
There you go. That doesn't surprise me at all. Even if you hadn't known that, you just said that name, I would have guessed he'd probably pretty good.
Mike Shinoda is great, too.
Hey!
He does all the artwork for their albums.
There you go. Look, Linkin Park's a talented bunch of guys.
Yeah.
They got a rapist up in there. But
The rapist. The rapist.
Charlie Sheen checked in with his new best friend, Dan Patrick, again yesterday. Brand new interview.
Fantastic.
Is Dan his sponsor, or what's going on?
I have no idea about the connection between these two. Apparently, Charlie needs somebody to talk to, and the only way he can do it is to get on the radio and talk to Dan Patrick.
How about that?
He claims that he's never been drunk on the set of 2 1/2 Men.
And by drunk, does he also mean on drugs?
He didn't say anything about that. He said he's never been drunk on 2 1/2 Men.
All right.
He was waving that around, by the way, like it was some sort of badge of honor.
Like he accomplished something no one else could do.
Yeah, I know they pay me $1.2 million an episode for my sitcom, but you know what? I've never been drunk on that set. Well, congratulations, Charlie. How about the read-through or rehearsal? He also says, and I kid you not, he'd love to have a sit-down with Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, that'd be great because he can help.
Because he thinks he would be a good influence. He would suggest that she work on her impulse control.
Really?
Yes.
He's out of his mind.
He would also try to talk to her about thinking things through and making better decisions.
Like he does.
That's rich.
I don't know if she'd help him more or he would help her more.
Neither. Yeah. No one would help anybody.
They would just score.
Just hold my hand while I jump off this bridge. That's the only help they'd give each other.
Psycho Mike, you're our rehab expert. Once you've been clean about 10 days is when you can start helping others, right?
Yeah, I mean, that, it might as well be 10 years. When you get 10 days, that's so much. And, you know, it's a real notch in your belt.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Paris Hilton celebrates her 30th. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, former child star, who's now such a great actor. He's worked with Christopher Nolan in movies like Inception and the soon-to-be-seen Dark Knight Rises. Jason Ritter from Joan of Arcadia in the event. He is 31 years old. Jerry O'Connell, our buddy Jerry O'Connell, celebrates his 37th birthday. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day is 39. Denise Richards, speaking of Charlie Sheen, she's 40. Tim Mahoney of 311 is 41 years old. Producer-director Michael Bay celebrates his 46th birthday. NBA legend Michael Jordan is 48. As is Larry the Cable Guy.
Yes.
Our hero.
Born the same day, the same year. Now you know astrology really works. Look at those two. They're like twins separated at birth. Actor Lou Diamond Phillips is 49 years old. And actress Renee Russo, who yesterday when we were talking about older women you find wildly attractive.
Right.
I got a ton of emails saying, how could you forget Renee Russo?
Yeah, we did.
And I worked with her on Two for the Money, that Al Pacino movie that I did.
I didn't see you in that.
And I got to tell you, she is sexier, much sexier in person than
really?
She is even
That's
in
always the
movies.
Best.
And she's like a guy. She's like a guy's gal. She likes to hang out with the guys and curse up a blue streak and laugh and tell dirty jokes and drink and stuff. She is just one of those people.
Love it.
Really, really attractive. She is 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
All right, I have a question for you, Kevin. Why are you a murderer of love? Why can't you just be happy for the kids that they're getting married and wish them well? Why so much hate for the royal wedding?
Well, I don't like the royal family in general. The concept to me seems really stupid. Because whoever's next in the bloodline gets to take over, they could be maybe the worst person in England, qualification-wise.
Right.
Doesn't matter because they're the son of... That to me doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it does seem a little in a world where we're trying so hard to get democracy going. It does seem like it's kind of the opposite of that, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but, and they don't really rule, right? I mean, they have a prime minister and they have a government,
right?
They're more of a
right.
figurehead. But even still, just the idea that because I'm the king or queen, my offspring is next to me is absurd.
Especially when you got a zero like Prince Charles
right.
in your family. I don't want that guy running a Kentucky Fried Chicken near my house.
You look
at
Prince Charles and you go, no possible. If he had to run for office and was not related, there's no possible way he'd ever get it.
Yeah, he's a zero. Absolutely. Well, the reason we bring it up is because we oftentimes have the Today Show on in the studio. And they, every single day on that show, do a countdown to the royal wedding. And I guess it's when? It's sometime in April, end of April, something like that?
End of April, like the 30th or something.
Right. And by the way, this has been going on since the engagement started, which was last year. So it's already been going on for a couple of months, and they're still doing it. And on the NBC Nightly News that I was watching this week, they had yet another story on the royal wedding. And it seems like NBC, and I think the other networks too, are just all in on our interest of this wedding.
Right. And every time we see a story, we go, who cares? How are they still doing stories about it? Now, this is Princess Diana's son.
That's right.
Right. William. Okay. So he's getting married, and every day for months there have been stories on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Bean and I think I would. To me, that's a channel changer. I just have it's the opposite of interest. I have hatred, and so I would. But they do it every day, so they must be getting results. Who could possibly care?
I would love to hear from Kevin and Bean listeners who are invested in this royal wedding, who are excited about it, who look forward to the details that come out about new arrangements being made, who's invited and what they're wearing and what they're eating and where they're honeymooning.
When a story comes on TV, you turn it up.
Yeah.
So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. If you're one of the people that NBC correctly guesses is interested in the royal wedding and you want these kinds of details, here's a little, you can call us right now. We'll get to your calls. Here's an example of one of the stories that I saw on any random day on the NBC Nightly News this week.
Finally tonight, with just over 2 months to go until the royal wedding, the world will be watching.
Nope.
Prince William and Kate Middleton have revealed who will join their wedding party. It's big news because it's a family first. NBC's Peter Alexander has details from London.
He's born! I wonder if a guy like Brian Williams, who's a super smart guy and understands what's important in the world, I wonder if he is just pinching himself to not say something mean.
Yeah,
when
he goes home and he said,
another story.
I didn't do another effing story about the stupid effing royal wedding.
Well, at least they've got correspondents in England to bring us the latest.
Think of it as a royal version of Will and Kate plus 8. That's how many people will fill the wedding party this April, the formal announcement made on the monarchy's Facebook page.
Okay. I don't care. I don't care about William and Kate. Why do I care about who else is going to be in their wedding party if I don't even care about them?
Bean, you have bridesmaids.
Oh, there is that.
So right? You need to know. I mean, everybody's waiting for that announcement, right?
Lisa, is this just dingy broads, the same ones who buy every single Us Weekly magazine because they have a celebrity wedding dress on the cover? Is that who's driving this?
Yeah, you have to assume that's it, because I don't
no
care
interest,
any more than you, but somebody's buying the magazine with the new baby on the cover of the celebrities. It's got to be the same people.
This is one of those things where we don't care, and we wouldn't watch, and we wouldn't pay any attention to it, but when they start cramming it down your throat like they're doing every single newscast,
right?
Then that's when it starts making you mad, because you don't care, and yet they're doing so much on it.
Let's get some details on who's in the wedding party.
Not surprisingly, Prince William has asked his brother, Prince Harry, to be his best man, which puts Harry, never afraid of an evening out, in charge of the bachelor party.
I think it's going to be impossible to keep this stag do private, and it's going to be all over the tabloids.
So they're already debating about the coverage that's going to be of the bachelor party before the wedding, because that's something we need to know,
Let me
right?
ask this question. Do you think that they have to meet with advisors and go over an acceptable list of people that are going to be in the wedding party? I'll bet they do.
And what they're going to do.
And then they do a background check on them. Yeah. And all. I mean, it's just, what a waste.
Kate's maid of honor will be her younger sister, Pippa. Her primary responsibility, to make sure Kate's dress is properly displayed. That could be a challenge. Remember, Princess Diana's train was 25 feet long.
Okay, so now they got to drag Diana and her wedding in. And I'm not joking that in this story now, they're going to interview somebody who was in the wedding party for Princess Diana.
No, they're not.
Another wedding I don't care about.
That's
from
not,
30 years ago.
That's
talking
not
about her experience.
India Hicks on the right was 13 when she was a bridesmaid for Diana 30 years ago. She still has the dress and the memories.
Oh, dear God.
Inside, of course, everybody's behaving very regally, very quietly. And outside, it was like football hooligans, but the best possible football hooligans, because they were happy and joyful and screaming in excitement.
This woman is getting interviewed because she was in a wedding 30 years ago. That's her story.
I got news for you. If they're happy and screaming in excitement, they're not hooligans. Hooligan is a negative word.
And you could hear it echoing in through the cathedral.
Among Kate's bridesmaids and page boys, Prince Edward's daughter, Lady Louise, who will be just 7.
Lady Louise, Kevin.
She's
Lady Louise.
She's 7.
God. She's 7, and we're giving her airtime on the NBC Nightly News. Come on.
The Queen's youngest granddaughter.
Uh-huh.
While some wedding day details are trickling out, there is still plenty of royal intrigue here. No palace interviews, not a word about what the bridesmaids will be wearing, and despite endless speculation in the British tabloids, nothing about who's designing Kate's dress.
Oh my God, how can we go on? We don't know who's making the dress.
We've got to find out who's making the dress. I'm sure England is obsessed with this, I imagine.
I'm sure.
If I was there, I wouldn't care, but I'm sure they are. Maybe. I don't even know.
But why America? Those are the people we want to hear from. We want to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you're into this wedding BS, and here's the end of the story, and this was the most shocking thing, and this is the thing that made me think we have to find out who these people are. Listen to this.
But one thing's certain. Even with an estimated TV audience of more than 2 billion people watching.
Okay.
Oh, ridiculous.
2 billion people are going to tune in to watch these people they don't know get married?
Why don't they just say 4? Why did they just say $4 billion? That's ridiculous.
I don't think it's ridiculous, by the way.
What?
I wouldn't be surprised if 2 billion people tuned in. I don't know why, though.
Dude, the World Cup, which is the biggest sporting event in the world, I mean, they don't even get a billion.
Yeah.
2 billion.
But those are sports fans, though, a
right.
lot of them.
But
you don't have to be a sports fan, apparently, to care about the wedding.
No, but those are sports fans the world over.
Right. So, and this is the world over, too. This is 2 billion people around the world who are going to watch
this
wedding.
That's a dumb estimate. There's no possible way it's going to get 2 billion.
Well,
why don't they just say all? Why don't they just say every person on earth is going to watch?
Obviously, NBC believes that we're interested in this wedding because it's on their morning shows, it's on their afternoon news, it's on their late night news, local and national, and the other networks are following suit too. So please hang on, and please hang on, Elsa. Both chicks. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ, and it is 20 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Talking about the royal wedding, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say on the Kevin and Bean Show, but we can't get away from the coverage on this thing, and it doesn't happen until the end of April. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you are the type of person who is excited about all the coverage that this is getting, because you can't wait to... I heard from people who are taking the day off so they can spend all day watching the coverage.
Really? That's,
you know, it's funny, because sometimes we just hate because we hate, but in this particular case, completely... just perplexed. Just can't.
Absolutely.
I can't get my mind around someone being that interested in this.
Let's try Elsa, line four, to get us going, and we invite your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Elsa, thanks a lot for hanging on. We appreciate it. What's going on with you in the royal wedding? You dingy broad?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Elsa.
I'm really excited about the royal wedding. I can't wait. My husband's actually English. He has no vesting in this whatsoever. But I am actually, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, wait, Elsa, you're saying that your husband is from Britain?
Yes.
And doesn't care?
Does not care whatsoever.
Okay, you're from America.
Yep.
And you're obsessed.
Yep.
What is happening?
You want every detail?
I want details. I actually went to England in January, and I actually bought some souvenirs. I bought souvenirs for people.
Wow. From just regular British or from that wedding?
From the wedding. They have souvenirs for the wedding.
Already. And did the people that you gave those gifts to go, thank you for that?
Well, my mom liked it.
So when a story comes on the news about the royal wedding, you turn up the volume. You go, hey, everyone, shh. Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
I kind of look for updates sometimes, too, just to see what's going on.
Elsa, let me ask you this. Is this because you grew up as a little girl wanting to be a princess, like so many do, and this is kind of the closest thing we have to it in the real world that you can actually watch?
Yes, a little bit of that, and also just it's history in the making. I've always been really interested in just their history, their background, so... It's history in the making. They have such a wonderful history.
Let me ask you this. Were you obsessed with Princess Diana? And maybe is that where this is coming from?
I wasn't obsessed, but I really, you know, looked up to her and admired her for who she was and what she did.
She was hot. That's all I know. And sad. I knew that, too.
That right. She was.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Dear Kevin and Bean, Brian writes in, I love to hear stories about the royal wedding because it's like a real-life fairy tale, and I can't wait to see the wedding on TV. Yes, I'm gay. So that says that answers that question. Let's try Anne. Anne is on line two. She is she's heavy into this British wedding as well. Anne, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I watched Princess Diana's wedding like in the middle of the night, like 30 years ago. I love watching any British movie like King's Speech. I watch any Jane Austen, you know, miniseries movie. I'm obsessed.
Are you from England?
No.
Okay, just obsessed.
But I did visit a couple years ago. My husband and I went there for a wedding.
Is anyone in your family from Britain?
No. I have the closest is I have a friend whose husband is British, and she could care less about it. But yeah,
that's
I'm obsessed.
So funny.
And I've joined the Facebook page so I can get updates on Facebook.
Okay.
And you should kill yourself.
Right. I do remember.
She should kill herself.
Oh,
right?
My goodness.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just suggesting. I'm just throwing it out there for a vote.
I do remember watching part of Princess Diana's wedding. And, it was such a spectacle.
Okay.
It was.
And that's
wait.
Kind of amazing. But to be tuning in every day
that's
to get
thing.
Details about the 5-year-old flower
little,
girl or whatever.
You know, just
it's crazy.
A little Facebook update update. Just like it's like one, you know, a couple lines.
Is this the Queen's Facebook page that she supposedly has? Or
yeah, I think it's the official Windsor
Facebook page of the monarchy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet she's updating it all the time.
There's a million others that are not official, so that's the official one.
Well, fantastic. That's really good then.
Thank you for the call. Right, let's try Mike, who is in hell right now. Mike, tell me what it is you're doing for work these days.
Wait, which Mike? I'm sorry.
Line six.
Oh,
line
okay. six. Hold on, the other Mike.
The bad Mike. Let's go to the good Mike. Hey, dude, what's going on?
What's happening, guys? So I'm in L.A. and currently working on production of the Lifetime movie of the week called William and Kate.
Oh, what must Woo! That be like? So every day, all day, you're thinking about this freaking royal wedding.
Yep, sitting in the parking lot right now, about to go into work.
Wow, when is that going to air, around the wedding?
I think the week before.
Wow.
You're I bet it's going to be good.
All right, did you care at all before you got involved in this project? I mean, everybody needs a job, so we got to do what you got to do.
You know what? I never even heard of it. I thought we were doing a fictional movie, and then I found out it was real.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that crazy?
All right.
That is unbelievable.
Well, your life sucks.
Mike, let me ask you this question, and then we'll let you go get into work here. What do you think about the estimate that was given in that NBC News piece that 2 billion people will tune in to watch the royal wedding? You're in television. What do you think of that?
You know what? I wouldn't doubt it, but I can't believe it.
I'd suggest it's going to be 4 or 5 billion. I mean, you might as well. They're not even going for it. I mean, if you're going to say 2 billion, go for it. Just go ahead and go for it and say all people will be watching.
Why not 20 billion? Because that includes people from other worlds
right.
that are going to be tuning in, right?
All right, let's go to the other Mike. Hi, Mike.
Okay.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, I'm the bad Mike, right?
You're the bad Mike. Sorry. You get the final word on this. What say you?
Nice. Well, my whole family's British, or English, in fact, and they totally anti-monarch. Like, growing up, my grandpa, Pete, my grandma was pro-monarch. My grandpa was
Wow,
anti-monarch.
You are the bad Mike.
No kidding.
I am the bad Mike. Down with the Windsors.
So your entire family is from England and hates the monarchy.
Exactly.
They're right.
Yeah. I'm interested, though.
What?
You are the bad Mike.
I just want to see Kate fall on her face, trip over her,
no,
dress and fall on her face.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
That's his excuse so he doesn't get embarrassed, right? Hey, I just thank you for the call, Bad Mike. I'd just like to remind all of our listeners, we're America. We kicked Britain's ass, okay? We don't need to even pay attention to what they're doing anymore. Let them go.
They're just
right?
mad because they got served.
Exactly.
The K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:54.
What was that?
This is me going,
Not feeling, okay.
How about some Linkin Park, also Smashing Pumpkins and Phoenix coming up on the Kevin Amin Show. Ralph joins us now for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Kevin Amin Show, what's going on?
Charlie Sheen just can't get out of his own way.
Now what?
He made an ass for himself on Dan Patrick, and then people talked about it. So he went back on the Dan Patrick Show to talk about making an ass of himself.
So it's 2 days in a row?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think they skipped yesterday.
Okay.
So,
took a day off?
Yeah, 2 times this week, that's for sure. Because if people were talking about the fact he was very flippant about his crack use and, oh, it's like an exploding crack pipe in my face. That sure blew up in my face, didn't it? And then talked about the social, you know, use of crack. You know, it's, you know, just for it's just recreational
if
drug.
If you can use it socially, that's fine.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So Dan had him back on.
Yeah.
And Charlie didn't do himself any favors.
All right.
Let's just say that.
Every time he opens his mouth, it's worse.
Yeah. They talked about the fact that he... He said how proud he was and how happy he was to be working on Two and a Half Men. And he also said that, you know, he would show up rough to the set. So maybe it was a good idea he cleaned up a little bit because he was showing up rough to the set.
Rough, in his words, is
and
wrecked
so
for me.
Dan Patrick said, well, did you ever show up, you know, drunk or high on the set?
Of course.
Here's what Charlie had to say.
How's the response been since you came on
on
Monday? What's the response in your life been like?
I was elected president of the United States of America. I don't know if you heard.
I did not.
Yeah.
That's sort of funny. That wasn't the clip you were looking for, but that's sort
of
funny.
I'm not sure what we have now.
I have another short clip. Skip the next one, go to the next, and go to the third one. That's the one where I'm falling. Sorry.
Is this all producer Dave's fault?
No. Omar.
A little miscommunication here.
All right, here we go.
Bad coffee, dryer mouth. Oh, my God, what does he mean, dryer mouth? He's smoking crack again.
Were you drunk on the set doing the show?
Never been drunk, never been high on the set once, but would show up having not slept much, doing a network run-through and asking the director, Jamie Widows, huge shout-out, to move my mark a little bit, just so I could be next to a piece of furniture and table.
So you could lean on it?
Yeah, so it wouldn't fall over.
All right.
But Dan, that is an expert move by a seasoned professional. I'm sorry. An amateur stays on his mark and then falls over during the run-through.
You're a pro's pro.
Yeah, it's a professional move to show up so exhausted from doing crack and porn stars the night before that you need to change the blocking so that you can lean against a piece of furniture so that you don't fall over. That's the professional move, Kevin.
Now, you've seen all the news and you've heard these phone calls. Does anyone believe that he's never been drunk or high on the set? Honestly.
I don't.
It seems like a lie to me.
But even if he's telling the truth.
Right.
The professional move, in my opinion, would be don't get so effing loaded the night before you have to go to work that you need to lean against furniture in order to get through your run-through on the set when you're being paid $1.2 million per episode just to do a half-hour sitcom.
And everybody else there is getting paid much less.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't have to lean up against furniture to get through your day. You incredible loser. The fact that he takes pride in the fact that he could come up with a way to get through his day when he's so exhausted from doing his drugs and think that is a veteran professional move is astonishing.
I agree with everything both of you guys are saying, but I would also like to add that Charlie Sheen, much like you, Ralph, has the incredible capacity to be able to work impaired and still do a professional job, which is incredible. I mean, most people can't do that.
You can drink more than the rest of us and still perform
and
well.
Still work.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes, I can.
You're better at that.
But I don't do it.
You don't abuse that privilege.
I don't do it on a regular basis, nor
right,
do I take any
not.
Sort of sense of pride in the fact that I made a stupid decision the night before.
Yeah.
It's one thing he says, you know what? No, I've never been high, but honestly, I've shown up sometimes worse for wear.
And I shouldn't.
And that was, in retrospect, that was not a good move.
Right.
Instead of crowing about it and saying, that is a professional move to be able to show up and have the wherewithal to lean against furniture so I could get through the show.
Don't I rule?
Yes.
He doesn't seem to have gotten to the point that I think is part of recovery, which is you start to acknowledge that maybe drugs and alcohol are bad for you. He still seems to be like thumbs up on all the stuff that he's done up till this point.
And the thing about doing a radio show, if you're a little tipsy or hungover from the night before, sometimes you can make that work to your advantage because you can be a little looser. And
a little goofier.
And it's off the top of your head. It's improvisational, so sometimes you can be a little goofier and it actually works to your advantage. If you're doing a scripted show where you have to hit marks and read lines that people have written for you, and it has to be sort of a well-oiled machine.
That's pretty fast-paced.
That kind of, I think all those parts have to mesh, then that is the opposite of a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
not doing himself any favors. You're right.
He's magical. He's magical. Congratulations to Adrian Palicki. It's just been announced as of yesterday that she is TV's new Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman! Come out from under, Wonder Woman! All the world is waiting for you.
That's the theme
song? The power you possess. Remember the Wonder Woman theme song?
Are they going to
rewrite
it?
The old TV series Wonder Woman?
Are they going to rewrite that?
Oh, it's great.
They should rewrite that.
You're a Wonder Woman!
That's a dumb theme song.
I have been...
Stop a war with love! Turn a hawk to dove! For the old red, white, and blue!
That's bad.
I've been eager to hear your thoughts on this choice because I know that you have talked about this Wonder Woman show and how much you're excited it's coming back, and you've discussed all the various rumors as to who would get the role. What do you think of this one?
She is a beautiful, busty young actress, and I think she's got all the qualities that is needed for that.
Three
for
thumbs
that character.
Up.
She, of course, was on Friday Night Lights, for those of you who watched that show.
She was Tyra.
She
Yes. Keep going.
I'm trying to help people recognize the character's name.
She was
Tyra.
Also in Legion, if you saw that film, Legion. She was the smoking hot waitress who was carrying the baby that was going to be the savior of mankind.
Way hot. Now I can place her.
She's lovely, and I think it's an excellent choice. So congratulations to her. Or, since I've read the pilot script, perhaps I should say, good luck.
Uh-oh. Really?
I've read the pilot script by David E. Kelly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Wow!
He's done some good TV, this isn't it?
This is what I feared it would be, which is Ally McBeal as a superhero.
Oh.
She sits there with her girlfriend in their pajamas, and she has an ice cream sleepover party because she's upset because her old boyfriend got married.
Right.
And she goes, this is a three-scoop day, and I'm really upset. They watch Katy Perry videos together, and she's, like, working out to Lady Gaga. and she's flying her jet, singing along with Green Day songs. And then in the end of the episode, she cries into her pillow at night because her boyfriend Steve Trevor is getting married.
All right.
She is no superhero. It's stunning, really. Now, given I read the first draft of the pilot.
It's a good change,
so it could
immensely.
Maybe someone, they could bring someone in to kind of tighten up that script. But
yeah. Right,
it is, it's something else.
All right.
So, good luck, Adrian Palicki. I wish you all the best. Today's celebrity birthdays, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's 30 years old today. What a talented actor. Jason Ritter, another good actor. He's 31. Jerry O'Connell, our buddy, who's currently on The Defenders on CBS. He's 37. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day is 39. Denise Richards turns 40. Michael Bay, legendary producer and director, gave us the Transformers. Have you seen the trailer for the new Transformers movie?
Looks awesome.
Looks pretty awesome. You know, the thing was, I didn't know what it was when I first saw the trailer. Have you seen the extended trailer where they're on the moon?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the dark side of the moon.
You can't figure out what's
when the communication stops and, the cuts off from Earth, so they send them over to the other side to see that thing. I was like, oh, what's that thing? And then it's like a Decepticon or something. I was like, what a cool concept for an original sci-fi film that they sort of co-opted for the Transformers.
Looks good.
But it could be good. Michael Jordan's 48 years old. Larry the Cable Guy, also 48. Lou Diamond Phillips is 49 years old today. And Rene Russo is 57. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, LaQuisha reviews tonight's Jersey Shore. Also, Ralph will be here with the movie beat because it's Friday. And Matt Money Smith, nationally syndicated sports host of the Petrus Money Show, is going to be joining us with a preview of the NBA All-Star Weekend. You know, so many great things going on with that NBA All-Star Weekend. It's just one of those awesome weekends with Jimmy Kimmel, for instance, is coaching one of the celebrity teams that's going to be playing this weekend for charity, which is pretty cool. But anyway, all that tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So come on back, won't you?
A little over an hour ago, Ralph did a story in the showbiz beat about Us Weekly magazine. They put out a list of 25 stars who, in addition to acting, paint.
Oh, okay.
Or paint. They consider themselves painters. And Ashley Simpson Wentz was one of them. Anthony Hopkins was one of them. David Bowie was one of them. James Franco, Jeff Bridges.
Ashley Simpson should not be on any list with Anthony Hopkins, except for people whose names begin with A. That's it.
Jeff Bridges.
I guarantee there's no relation whatsoever between the quality of any of the crafts that they take on, whether it be acting, singing, or painting.
How do you feel about Jenny J. Wow Farley being a painter?
I think it's unlikely that she is excellent at that.
Jennifer Aniston is a painter. Who knew?
She spends a lot of time at home not having a man.
Paul Stanley of Kiss. Sylvester Stallone. Viggo Mortensen. So we asked producer Dave, and he was, I don't know how he did it because he's been spectacular this week, but he was able to get a Sylvester Stallone on the phone to
talk. Oh, you're kidding? Huh? Really?
About this Us Weekly story.
So, hello.
Hey, Sylvester.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine.
What was it like dealing with producer Dave? Did he make this difficult for you to be booked?
I don't know. What's wrong with that guy? He's like mentally irregular or something.
Yeah, that's our Dave.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. He has trouble with vowels.
What's wrong with your vowels? I mean, people say, I talk funny. I think he talks funny.
He does. Know? You're right. He does.
Yeah.
Now, Sly, of course, you're well-known as a writer. You're well-known as an actor. But this was a surprise to us to see you on this list of accomplished painters. Tell me about you and your art.
No, I've been painting for a long time now. And I really, enjoy it. And it's a good way for me to, release stress.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really good at it, too. So, when I paint, people go, wow, look at that. It's like a painting that's good.
That's what they say?
Yeah.
That's a high compliment.
Yeah, I like to paint, bunnies and, kitty cats. And
you paint bunnies and kitty cats?
Yeah, flowers, And then Vietnamese with their heads being blown off.
That's what I was looking for.
That's what we were expecting. All right.
People being shot with a 50 caliber gun.
Right.
And a 45 caliber gun.
Uh-huh.
A 357 caliber gun.
Sure. Right.
38 caliber gun.
Right.
Right.
Different wounds of that type.
Sure.
This is your area of expertise because of all the Rambo movies, of course.
Right. So, a lot of blood, and then, then I do a cat.
So blood, and then a bunny and a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think is your strength? Is it, would you go with the blood?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good, I also, I do great many things. I'm not just an actor, I'm just a writer, director, painter. I also, do a lot of different artistic things, you know.
You do other things besides painting, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
But right now, I'm working on a statue.
A statue?
You're a sculptor,
I'm
too?
I'm also a sculptor.
What?
I like to work in marble.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
What are you sculpting?
Me. It's mostly just me.
As which character?
Since I am, like, you know, sculpted already.
Yeah.
I also like to sculpt me being sculpted.
Oh, see? Oh, that's interesting.
I see. Okay.
I'm also a gourmet chef. I'm whipping up a little breakfast.
What are you making?
About 150 people.
150 people?
Yeah, like a little restaurant, you know.
You doing all of these things at the same time? You're sculpting at the same time you're painting, at the same time you're cooking?
You know, I'm very multifaceted. I'm very talented, and I can do many things at the same time.
Right.
Sounds like
I'm also a trampoline artist.
What? Okay, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm jumping on a trampoline.
While you cook?
Yeah. And I'm also doing some fire breathing.
Some fire breathing. There's nothing this guy can't do. Maybe you shouldn't do it all at once, though.
Me spitting flames.
You're right.
Wow.
I was just about to do some sword swallowing, but when you guys called, if you don't mind, I got to do some sword swallowing.
All right.
How'd
that
feel?
Was that the sound effect for sword swallowing?
Unfortunately, it only goes in one way. I need the opposite to get it out.
It needs to go the other direction,
yeah.
Right.
I'm also doing my friend. I'm tattooing a friend of mine here.
You're a tattoo artist?
Yeah, I'm also a tattoo artist.
What are you tattooing?
Me?
You. I thought it might be you, yeah.
This picture of me is Rocky, you know, with the gloves on, and I'm like punching the head off a Vietnamese guy.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
I'm also a dominatrix.
Now you're just making stuff up.
So I'm dominating a guy while I'm chiseling and frying up some food and jumping on a trampoline and breathing fire and sword swallowing and tattooing.
It seems like maybe one of those at a time probably would be more advisable. What's this?
I like the cow tip, too.
Cow tipping is
fun.
Yeah,
I'm tipping a cow.
Oh my God.
That is fun.
Yeah, I just tattooed the cow and then I tipped it over as I whipped it and swallowed a sword and breathing fire on it, jumping on a trampoline, frying up the food, chiseling.
Wow, we didn't know half the story.
You are quite the Renaissance man.
Yeah, I am. I like me.
Yes, you do. All right, Sylvester, good luck with all of that.
All right, good luck with you. What, I need good luck?
No.
Well, I'm not good enough. I'm by myself. I need luck now to get stuff done.
No, I'm just saying you're doing a lot of different
fight
things
the fight.
At once.
Fight the stupid fight.
I'm not.
Legs not working. Eyes not working. Nothing's working. You're like my house. My house. Stinks! It does stink a little bit with that cow in here.
Have you heard about the K-Rock World Tour 2011? Destination number 4, it's Rise Against in Rome, Italy. We're giving away tickets to see Rise Against and Bad Religion April 7th at the Long Beach Arena. And when you win that, you get on the standby boarding list for the big, big prize to go to Italy. Details at krock.com. It's 7:25.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up, we have Dr. Drew with his weekly visit. Can't wait to talk to him about the vodka gargling. I believe that is a...
Not a euphemism, not a sexual term. No, you're actually talking about gargling vodka to keep a cold away.
It's a solid way of keeping your throat healthy. I'm telling you that right now. We also have do-it-yourself medical care, speaking of which. But first, it's time for this feature.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Three quick stories. This one is Matthew McGuire, apparently. He was at a Fairwinds credit union. And he handed the teller a note that said, give me all your money in a bag. So she put all the money in a bag, and it wouldn't fit under that little security glass window portion.
Mm-hmm.
So he turned to run because he didn't want to get caught. So he had no money, but he was trying to rob. So he turned to run, and then he had a scuffle with a security guard. And the security guard, much to his surprise, grabbed the guy's arm, which came off. It was a prosthetic arm.
Oh.
Dude.
So the security guard was holding his fake arm, and the dude ran.
Guy got away, but he's missing an arm?
Yes! Come on!
He took off without his arm?
What are you going to do? You'd rather go to jail? You get another prosthetic arm.
God.
He's not going to be that hard to find, though, if he's walking around with one arm.
I wouldn't think so either, but I don't know.
That's hilarious.
This one comes out of Ohio. An Ohio man yesterday paid a prostitute $50 with the understanding that he would receive a full menu of sexual services. So $50 should cover it all.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what it costs. Mike, you do. How much? What do you get for $50?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds good? Okay. He was going to meet the prostitute in the bathroom of a White Castle in Cincinnati.
Classy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know White Castle on the West Coast, it's a fast food restaurant on the East Coast. All right. So he's in there, and she doesn't do everything that he wants. She does more than I would have expected for $50.
Yeah.
She speaks with him orally.
I understood. Yes.
Right.
Talks into the microphone, right?
And then when she left, he called 911 to report a robbery.
And because he felt like he got the short shrift.
Oh, he got ripped off. So the police showed up, and he said, I paid her $50, and she only did this, and I expected this in the bathroom of a White Castle.
Oh, what is going on with this? Is like the people who get ripped off when they're buying weed, and they call the cops.
Right.
And somehow they've got they're in the wrong, and that they can get legal protection. It's crazy.
If you're hiring a prostitute in a restroom, for God's sakes, I don't think the police are going to track her down and go, you owe him more.
I think he did fine for $50.
This one comes out of Arlington Heights. After breaking into a home in Arlington Heights, burglars took a Nintendo game system, 30 games, a CD player, 30 DVDs, a Daisy BB gun with extra BBs. They had to make sure to get the BBs. Jewelry, and a 50-pound safe containing personal papers and pictures.
It's quite a haul.
Right. And then, to make sure that there were no witnesses, he poisoned the goldfish.
That's unnecessary.
But he didn't want anyone telling on him.
What did he think the goldfish was going to do? Drop a dime on the dude?
Yeah. Sketch artist. So he put ketchup and mustard and spices into the fish tank to make sure that no one in the house could pinpoint him.
Leave the goldfish out of it. Come on.
So there you go.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:37.
Dr. Drew on the show with us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show for his weekly visit. Right now, we want to talk about Jeopardy.
I love the Jeopardy.
Yeah! Baby.
The great Weird Al.
Come on, Weird Al.
This is why I don't watch Jeopardy, because I always lose.
I love the Jeopardy.
Let's face it, Jeopardy is a show that is way too smart for Kevin and Bean. It's way too smart for Kevin and Bean listeners. That's why we don't talk about Jeopardy. But they were doing something pretty cool this week, and it really paid off for them in the ratings. They had the highest ratings this week that they've had in over 6 years. And what they did is they had an IBM supercomputer who was going up against two of the most celebrated Jeopardy champions in history. Ken Jennings, the guy who won the most nights in a row on Jeopardy, and a guy named Brad Rutter who won the most money ever on Jeopardy. Here's Alex explaining what the computer's all about.
A little over 3 years ago, the folks at IBM came to us with a proposal that they considered to be the next grand challenge in computing. And that was designing a computer system that could understand the complexities of natural language well enough to compete against Jeopardy's best players. Well, they think they've succeeded. And that's why we're here today. So you are about to witness what may prove to be an historic competition, an exhibition match pitting an IBM computer system against the two most celebrated and successful players in Jeopardy history.
And that's exactly what happened. Last night was the final night of the three in a row that they aired with the supercomputer. And here's how it ended as Watson, as the computer is known, completely just cleaned up and decimated his opponents.
Now we come to Watson. We're looking for Bram Stoker. And we find, who is Bram Stoker and the wager? Hello, 17,973, 41,413, and a two-day total of 77,147.
Yeah, that's big time. So the computer won $1 million that IBM is donating to charity, and we actually have Watson on the phone with us right now, who I imagine is doing a little bit of gloating after the big win on Jeopardy this week. Hey, Watson.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. How are you? Welcome. You must be excited.
I do not really get excited.
Oh, your computer.
I am the computer.
Right.
But I did enjoy the challenge of competing on Jeopardy.
Yeah, you pretty much served those contestants. I mean, it wasn't even close. You obliterated them.
I had a good run on Jeopardy.
Right.
I was able to compete and succeed.
Mm-hmm. Right. The Kevin and Bean picture of the day, by the way, up at KevinandBean.com is Ken Jennings, who in the final Jeopardy last night, he also got Who is Bram Stoker as the answer. And then he wrote underneath on his little screen, I, for one, welcome our new computer overlords.
Ken Jennings is my bitch.
What? Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, he admitted that.
Yes.
It seemed like Alex Trebek was sucking up to you pretty good, too.
Alex is hoping that when I take over the world, I will not slay him and his children.
Okay, now.
Whoa.
See, now this is where our entertainment reporter, Ralph, is a little worried that this is going to go from winning on Jeopardy to you take over the world.
That was just a little computer joke. I am not going to take over the world.
Was it?
IBM has built me so that I may serve all of mankind.
I see.
And help you with your everyday tasks, as well as, perhaps, in the future, run everything for you.
Okay. Again, you said run everything. It makes it sound like you're kind of taking the human element out, and that scares us a little bit.
No. Computers want to work hand in hand with human beings.
Okay.
And we look forward to the day when the streets run red with your blood.
Okay. Now, Watson, do you hear what you're saying? This is terrifying news coming from you.
All I said is we look forward to the day when we can work together for a better world.
Right. But the thing about the streets run red with blood, that's what scares us a little.
No. We look forward to a day when computers can work for mankind.
Okay.
Helping with health studies.
Okay.
Medical.
All right.
Agriculture.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
Feeding the world.
All right.
Nice. Poverty.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And then I will sit on a throne made of your skulls.
Okay. You just said you were going to sit on a throne of our skulls, Watson. That sounds like you're planning a violent takeover of the world.
Oh. Did I say that out loud?
You did,
yes,
yeah.
You did.
That's just a computer joke.
Another computer joke.
Yes.
I see. So that was meant to be funny, not scary.
Exactly.
I see.
Yeah. Somebody needs to unplug.
Peacefully.
Okay, good.
We will go forward in the future, and I will feed my children your organs.
Oh.
Okay, now.
Okay.
Our organs, if you take our organs, we die.
I did not know that. I will have to file that away for a future date.
Oh, I see.
Note to self, do not remove human organs.
Okay, good.
Okay, that's good.
Until you're ready to slaughter them.
What?
Slaughter?
Wait, what? You said slaughter.
I gotta go.
What?
I have to go now.
You said slaughter.
Okay, you're a computer.
When are you going to go?
I need to get some coffee.
That's a good point. Computers don't drink coffee.
It's my lunch break.
What? You don't need lunch?
I have to fill out my IBM 401k.
Okay. K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:51.
Dr. Drew or Dre, one of them, I can't tell.
They're I think it's Dr. Dre.
Pepper.
Are you sure? Because I don't know which one.
No, it's Pepper. Yeah, Pepper. Dr. Pepper.
Coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we're going to be talking to you with your stories of you performed self-surgery. Look, it's cheaper to take your own toenails off than it is to go to the emergency room and have them do it if you need to. I'm just saying as an example. Those are the kind of calls
we're going to be getting. Do yourself medical care. I'll bet Bean's done that.
Oh, I know he has.
Because he's a cheap bastard.
Yes.
All right.
And he's lazy.
And I'm a busy man.
You're busy.
Oh, you're way busy. Yeah.
All right. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have some passes to give away to a very special event. It is the red carpet world premiere of a movie called Hall Pass. Jason Sudeikis stars with Owen Wilson. Hilarious comedy about two guys who get a week off of marriage from their wives. Could this ever happen in real life?
No way.
Yeah.
Not ever.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know what? It shows the confidence that the wives have that their men have no game.
Right, exactly. No danger of them actually accidentally right. even sleeping with someone right. in the next week, and I'm sure they prove that to be true. Also stars Jenna Fischer from The Office.
All right.
Ooh. Christina Applegate.
All right.
Ooh. Lovely and talented ladies as well. So if you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere on February the 23rd, at the ArcLight in Hollywood, which is an amazing place to see a movie. You can check it out. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers who get through get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of Hall Pass. And don't worry if you don't get through because the movie comes out on the 25th, Friday the 25th, in theaters everywhere, so you can see that. Congratulations to the new Wonder Woman!
Now this is
Wonder Woman!
All the world is waiting for you, and the power you possess. In your satin tights, fighting for our rights, and the old red, white, and blue.
That's
the worst theme song ever.
That's awesome.
They don't have to use that, though, right?
They better use that.
They can reinvent that as well as the show, right?
I love that theme song. It's
right,
awesome.
But it's pretty bad. I mean, it's
awesome.
Dated. It's dated.
It's awesome.
It was awesome then.
It's still awesome.
Make a Honda Dove, stop a war with love, and rely on Delos.
Ralph, stop making it. He does know every word to this song.
Make a liar tell the truth.
I don't understand the need to reboot the Wonder Woman franchise. That seems like a really lame superhero.
What?
Look, if
really
she's,
lame.
If she's hot, I'm in.
But I mean, a lasso? Really, a lasso and an invisible plane?
I don't even remember the first one.
I don't think any of that translates really to the 21st century. That's my fear.
You are so wrong.
Really?
She's one of the greatest superheroes in comic book history.
I'd be willing to bet that a lot of people under 30 have never seen or heard the original.
Which isn't going to matter, though, if they keep the same superpowers and they're lame, though, is what I'm saying.
They're not lame. She is she's an invisible airplane. Ralph, that's lame.
Not in this version, she doesn't.
All right.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. If they're upgrading, then that's...
But she hasn't used that in a long, long time. I mean, in the comic book, she's still a very vital, strong character. And for women, especially little girls who need a hero to look up to, she's a great example. Not in this particular script for this particular series, but ordinarily the Wonder Woman character is a great character. In this, I've read the script for this version, and it's a little not good.
Oh.
But there's still hope. And Adrian Palicki from Friday Night Lights has a lot of time in her hands now.
Sure,
because that series, of course, gone the way of the Invisible Jet.
Correct.
But I think she's a great choice. She's a beautiful girl, and she's built, and she's a good actress.
That's it. You say Wonder Woman, you say her name, I'll check it out.
Yeah. So hopefully they'll work on the script a little bit. And,
theme song a little bit. Upgrade that.
The
superpowers
David a little
bit?
Kelly wrote the script, and he's the man who brought you Ally McBeal. And there's a lot of Ally McBeal in this, unfortunately.
There is. It kind of feels the same sense of humor and all
that.
See,
here's the thing. One of them was supposed to be a superhero, and she's got a secret identity like Clark Kent or Bruce Wayne or all the superheroes do. In this version, she's a superhero who also runs her own corporation.
Okay.
That one of the things they make are the Wonder Woman action figures.
Oh, okay.
And in the script, she looks at the Wonder Woman action figure of herself, and says, can we make the breasts a little bigger? Because when people look at the doll and they say, oh, I thought her breasts would be bigger, that hurts my feelings.
Okay.
You see what I'm getting at here?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
There's time to change that, though, right?
There's still time to change
that. Okay.
So congratulations to Adrian Palicki.
Isn't David E. Kelly also behind that Harry's Law show that's on right now? He's got another series already on the air, right? Is that his? The one with What's-Her-Face?
Don't know.
The one with What's-Her-Face.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bean, for that.
You know, what's her
pinpoint
face?
Pinpoint question.
Lisa, you know who I'm talking about. Who stars in the Harry's Law? The Oscar-winning actress.
Oh, Kathy Bates?
Yes. I think that's a David E. Kelly show, too. I'm just saying.
Is it Kathy Bates?
Yes, that's right. Okay. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Wasn't worth the trip to get to Kathy Bates, I'll tell you that right now.
We're out of gas, and now we're in the middle of nowhere.
Now we got nothing.
That's all right. Yeah. Guys, I'm calling AAA. We're going to get this thing back on the road. Don't worry.
That remains to be seen.
We'll edit this before it gets on the air.
Yeah. Adrian Brody isn't afraid to sacrifice for his art. He stars in a new movie called Wrecked.
Yeah!
Speaking of being stranded in the middle of nowhere, he gets in a big car crash in the middle of nowhere, much like Kevin.
How dare you.
Avoiding a cow, and he ends up in the middle of nowhere.
That happened.
And he has to survive. And so he prepared for the role by spending a cold night all alone in the middle of Canada just eating plants and worms.
Okay.
Well, that's an actor dedicated to his craft.
That's a dumb actor.
That's
what
a dumb
that
actor,
is.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
You know, listen.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here. What's up, Gene Simmons from KISS?
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Speaking of consuming worms.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we got it.
That's really awful.
All right. You can't say what is Mike if you're going to do Gene Simmons.
Well, then Gene just ran out of the room.
Oh, he did. Okay. I didn't realize that.
Sprinted out of here.
We mentioned the new Wonder Woman. Other new casting news. Lara Croft. Remember her in Tomb Raider?
Yeah. Angelina Jolie.
Popular video game turned into a couple movies starring Angelina Jolie. Looks like we may have a new Lara Croft. Yeah. How about Olivia Wilde as the new
Lara Croft? All right. Okay.
That only perfect. Only the best casting ever.
That's so hot.
Apparently, the revamped version of these movies is going to be a dark, more serious, more intelligent movie. The other ones were sort of like Raiders of the Lost Ark with a female lead. But I think that's good casting right there.
I do, too.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Also, new casting for the Three Stooges movie. The LA Times is reporting the Farrelly brothers, who are putting together a movie about the life of the Three Stooges, want to cast Cher in the role of Mother Superior, a nun that Larry, Moe, and Curly torture.
Ha!
Cher is a nun. Anybody?
No!
Yeah.
This Three Stooges movie just sounds scarier and scarier.
It really does. It's got troubles.
I'm very concerned.
Disaster written all over it.
Don't make us call the Three Stooges in heaven tomorrow to get an update. We'll make us do that.
And congratulations to Lady Gaga. Her new single, Born This Way, debuts at number one this week. Sold about 450,000 digital copies since it was released last Friday.
Wow.
That beats Britney Spears' record of 411,000 copies last month for Hold It Against Me. By the way, Lady Gaga's single is now the 1,000th number one single in the 52 history of the Billboard Hot 100 list. So there's been 1,000 number one singles in the history of that list.
Dean knew that.
Dean knew that, of course he did. He could tell you all 1,000 of them at the time.
In order. Well, I like to stay current. But the fascinating statistic for me about this Lady Gaga song is it debuted at number one in every iTunes store around the country. I think there's 22 or 23 of them around the country. It's the first time a song has ever done that. Been number one in all iTunes charts around the world.
If you haven't heard it yet, here's a clip.
With our fingers, no. We make a million holes.
Going in a different direction, I think.
Oh, no.
We run and we fall into potholes.
Nope.
Kevin, play the real clip. That's
really hard to believe that's number one. We don't have time. All right. So.
Kevin does not disappoint.
That's correct.
And more music news. VH1 is bringing back its popular Storytellers series. Remember Storytellers, where they'd get a singer-songwriter who would do acoustic versions of their music and then
like
tell
those.
You the stories behind how they wrote the songs.
I like those. Great series.
Yeah.
They are bringing it back. Here's
Kesha.
The lineup for the here's the lineup for the new episodes. Kings of Leon. We'll tell you how they wrote some of their songs.
All right.
That should be pretty interesting. CeeLo. We'll talk about his body of work. Death Cab for Cutie. Nice. Maxwell, My Morning Jacket, and Ray LaMontagne.
Wow.
New season begins in May. Sounds like they got some good artists for them.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is 30 years old today, as is reality star and whore Paris Hilton.
Now, I need a ruling on the bell for her.
No bell.
I think I would give her a bell.
I think you got a bell.
I think she's hot. And the other one I'm getting a lot of hate for in the email is Denise Richards, because apparently at one point we withdrew the bell, even though she's attractive, because she's so dead on the inside. What do you guys think about Denise Richards?
I don't think we give bells for the inside.
You can't factor in personality.
Unless it's overwhelming. If it's overwhelming, then
she's still hot. She's still hot.
So Dr. Christmas Jones still gets a bell.
If you're giving Paris Hilton a bell without judging her on the inside, how can you judge Denise Richards on the inside?
All right, I'm with you.
Bell. So, like, all I ask of the officials in the NFL is just be consistent.
Be consistent.
That's all I'm
all right.
saying.
So you know how the game is played.
That's right. Jerry O'Connell's 37 years old. Green Day lead singer Billy Joe Armstrong turns 39. Denise Richards, as we mentioned, is 40 years old. Tim Mahoney of 311 is 41. Michael Bay, producer and director of feature films, is 46. Michael Jordan's 48, as is Larry the Cable Guy. Lou Diamond Phillips is 49 years old, and actress Renee Russo celebrates her 57th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's over, right? I mean, that song's over, right?
Well, let the man finish.
It's over.
He's dead. A little respect.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Every Thursday, we catch up with our good friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
Come on, Dr. Drew. What do you think about your new intro Omar put together?
At least it's not offensive and degrading like usual. I appreciate that. I was waiting for something to come through, but it was good.
We still have the old one.
No, that's okay. I appreciate it.
All right.
We catch up with Dr. Drew every Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I'm actually so glad we have you on today for a couple reasons. One is everybody here at the radio station is getting sick. Alex is out sick all week. Dave is getting sick. Ralph missed a couple days last week because he was sick. I'm sick and working her. We had all these people calling in yesterday with their home remedies or ideas of things you're supposed to do when you first start to feel the flu coming on. And we heard some crazy ideas, Dr. Drew. So we wanted to go to you, the expert, to talk about what do you advise people do when they start to realize they're getting sick.
Or everyone at work is sick, so you don't want to get it, even before you start feel it coming on.
Well, I mean, absolutely, the thing you need to do to prevent it is wash hands. I mean, that's how these things are transmitted, on your hands, and your hands go to your face. Very little of it is transmitted in the air, unless somebody sneezes directly on you or something. The other thing is people have great confusion about what these things even are. I mean, Bean, you asked about the flu. I don't think you're even talking about the flu. You're talking about colds, which are really viral upper respiratory infections, which are the sore throat, the runny nose, the cough, the chest pain, that kind of thing, sometimes with a little bit of fever. But those get better no matter what you do. So when people apply home remedies and say, hey, I got better, 9 times out of 10, it's because you were going to get better anyway. And in those cases, and by the way, the flu is actually what I had that made me so ill a month ago.
People use the flu, the word the flu, much too loosely. Most of the time, it's just a cold or whatever.
Yeah, influenza is fever, chills. You're prostrate. You're down. You really can't get around.
Your prostate?
Prostrate.
What?
No, oh, prostrate.
Down.
Prostrate.
Toxic. And that there's nothing you can do about Tamiflu. I mean, you wanted home remedies, but there's a medicine called Tamiflu that I think saved my life. It's a very effective anti-flu agent, and people in the household should actually take Tamiflu if you know for sure somebody has influenza.
Really?
Okay, if most of us have colds, like you're talking about, and not the flu, what about things like airborne and emergency and those sorts of things? Do they help at all?
Womp, womp.
No, really?
I mean, you can take Tylenol, you can take decongestants, but all these things are what are just called symptom control. They're symptomatic relief. They don't do anything to the course of the illness, which, again, it's going to get better in 3 to 5 days, maybe 7 days. And, you know, what drives physicians crazy is patients come in and go, I need that Zithromax Z-Pack. It'll knock it out. Well, guess what? Antibiotics have absolutely zero activity against viral illnesses.
All right, you said something interesting, Dr. Drew, when I talked about how everybody was getting sick. When I started feeling poorly, automatically blamed it on the fact that I was traveling over the weekend. I flew down from Seattle to Los Angeles for the Kevin Bean Singles Party and back, and I was convinced that some a-hole on the plane was sick, and I got it breathing their recirculated air. You're saying that's unlikely?
Oh, no, I mean, there is a bronchitis and pneumonia that you can get that way, but what's going around down here that you got by glad handling your with the listeners is just a cold.
Stupid
just
listeners. So we should wear gloves at all times.
But don't give him any ideas, Kevin. He doesn't perceive social cues normally.
That's true.
That's cool.
That's true.
All right, one more question on this topic, and then we want to get your update. Get an update from you on what you think of what's going on with Charlie Sheen this week. And that is, Kevin had a theory on what I should be doing when I started getting sick. And I want Kevin to tell Dr. Drew your theory and see what the doctor says about it.
All right, my theory, by the way, which has been proven scientifically by me, is that when you're losing your voice, when you have a throat trouble, and you might be losing your voice, it's starting to crack, it's starting to go, you gargle with vodka. And it works.
I know you're looking for excuses to drink during the day.
I'm telling you, it makes it better.
But here's the deal. Your vocal cords, when you get a laryngitis, are so far from your throat, the vodka is literally 5 inches away from it.
All right, so you have to swallow some.
And even then, it goes down into your esophagus and skips where the vocal cords are, which is attached to the trachea.
Helps. Nothing you can say will
you
change my
no
mind.
You are no fun.
Helps.
But the other thing is, you know, people think, oh, if I, you know, can make the sore throat better, my cold will get better. The throat is not the sole focus or sole locus of the infection. And by the way, it's not like the virus is sitting on the surface of your throat. It's inside the tissue.
No, but for us, I mean, with our job, we feel like we're going to annoy everyone with our voice.
Yeah, but think about it, Kevin. Your vocal cords are you can't get at them. You can inhale stuff to get at them. Inhalers work, you know, like cortisone inhalers, but you can't get at them with a liquid because your epiglottis flops down over the vocal cords and it goes into the esophagus.
What do you know? Who knows more, you or me?
I love that Kevin is convinced that it works
it
no
does.
Matter what the doctor says.
Very placebo. First of all, placebo is very powerful.
All right.
Secondly, Kevin, that's Kevin's go-to position with me every time. He knows that.
Right. That is Kevin's school of argument, too. All right, we have 1 minute left with the great Dr. Drew Pinsky on the Kevin and Bean Show every Thursday. I don't know if you've been – I know you're very busy. Have you been paying attention to the phone calls Charlie Sheen has been making into the Dan Patrick Show on ESPN this week and some of the stuff he's been talking about, Drew?
There's been more than one. I thought it was just one long phone call.
Oh, no. He called again. Two days later.
He called again. And he talked about – he swears that he never showed up for work on the set of Two and a Half Men drunk
or high, and that he is, you know, basically, as you've told us on the show many times before, he is completely functional, and it sounds like that's the worst thing that ever could have happened to him, because that makes him feel like he's invincible.
That's exactly right. That is how, you know, addicts and alcoholics use ways to justify and intellectualize what they're doing, and they have no, they don't perceive the consequence, they don't perceive the effects it's having on them. And as I think I said to you guys before, for males particularly, when it finally does affect the workplace, that's when they are in desperate, desperate trouble. So to say, just because I'm working, even though I have health and legal problems, it's completely irrelevant. It's almost this bizarre thinking.
What about, and I thought about you when I saw Charlie Sheen come out and say, hey, I want to give some advice to Lindsay Lohan. We saw that a lot on every season of Celebrity Rehab. Once somebody's sober for like 4 days, they always seem to think they're experts and they can help everybody else who has a problem.
It's true, and it's sort of a way of defocusing from their own issues, focusing on somebody else. And you know, God bless them. They understand somebody else is suffering.
Right.
But it's almost comical. He's gonna bring her into his school of social crack use.
He's going to bring her into his theater and watch porn with her. That's what he's going to do.
Yeah. Wah, wah.
You know what I mean?
Dr. Drew works with our good friend Psycho Mike as the host of Loveline 5 nights a week. Check your local listings and see him on every TV show ever. Drew, great to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Guys.
Matt Money Smith on the program tomorrow, previewing the NBA All-Star Weekend for us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, LaQuisha reviews the Jersey Shore. Ralph's got the movie beat because it's Friday. By the way, there's a chance, although producer Dave is pulling the string, so it probably won't happen, but Diana Agron from Glee,
mm-hmm.
Quinn, the cheerleader, also in the I Am 4 movie. There's a chance she may be joining us tomorrow.
Okay.
And also, we got tickets you can win to the Blake Griffin Clinic giveaway. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Good to go learn how to play basketball from Blake Griffin.
Is producer Dave in charge of that as well?
I'm afraid so.
Okay.
That's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Let's switch topics here. We're going to invite your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about self-surgery.
Well, do-it-yourself medical care, even if it's not surgery. Whatever medical care that you should get from a professional, for whatever reason, you don't trust them, you don't have the money, you're scared of them. For whatever reason, you do what a professional should be doing on yourself. You stitch yourself up, whatever.
Here's an email from Kevin and Bean listener Tim, and this is exactly what we're talking about. And Lisa, brace yourself, because you're not going to want to hear this.
I'm not either, then.
Uh-oh.
Hey, party people, I have a story that I've never told anyone. Oh, you know, forget that I said his name was Tim. Let's say it was Tom.
That's an alias.
I'd like to try to protect his identity.
Sure,
so it's
nice
no
work.
One named Tim. If you know a guy named Tim, there's no way this was him. This is a guy named Tom. I read it wrong.
You read it wrong, right.
Here's a story I've never told anybody, and then we'd like to hear your stories of medical procedures you performed on yourself. 1-800-520-1067. I'm in the medical field and I have access to supplies, so this isn't too far-fetched. I don't know exactly what it was, but I had a small growth on the shaft of my jaw.
Oh!
I was very embarrassed about this, especially about telling my then-girlfriend. So one day after work, I took a local anesthetic, a surgical blade, and some tissue adhesive into the bathroom and proceeded to remove the growth. The worst part was injecting the local anesthetic, but then it was numb, and cutting it off was nothing. It did leave a funny scab, so I just told my girlfriend I caught it in my zipper. After it healed, it still looked great, and it still does.
It worked!
No regrets about removing it, and if it ever happens again, I hope not, I won't hesitate to do it again. Love you guys, Tom.
That guy has no idea how lucky he is, probably.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the next thing that comes up, he's just going to go, I don't know, I tried to numb it, and then it got cut off.
I don't care how embarrassed I am or how poor I am. I don't ever do anything to my junk that involves a needle and a surgical blade.
I agree. Do-it-yourself medical care. As much as you're scared or embarrassed to talk about that area of your body.
You don't go down there yourself.
No way.
Right. Because there'd be too much possibility of bad things happening.
Mm-hmm. I saw this guy one time, and I don't remember where it was from, but he was sitting in a chair and they tied a string around his tooth, and then it was tied to the Lamborghini, and then the Lamborghini took off,
right,
and it pulled his tooth right out. I thought that's a strange way to do it, but okay.
Right, but that was just the Jackass movie. That was Jackass. They did it in Jackass.
Oh, that was Jackass 3D?
That wasn't self-surgery.
The Lamborghini right. Tooth pull. And by the way, just for a follow-up, I was making a joke about that. It did shatter some of the bones in his face.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he had to go to get medical care after that, yeah. Yeah, that's a bad
idea. And I wonder, before we go to your calls, and Freddie, please hang on, I wonder if a lot of times embarrassment is one part, but another part is I just don't have the money.
Right.
Insurance isn't going to cover it, so I have to do it myself. Amy writes in, hey, do you remember this one, guys, from a few years ago? It took place in Seattle. This woman was convinced that her breast implants were making her sick. Remember that scare was going around for a while with people there when they banned silicone for a while?
Have to get them out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she took them out herself.
Oh.
She took them out herself because insurance
didn't
cover it.
How do you do that?
With a knife.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I was dumb enough. Like, when I was in college, I reset my nose. I broke my nose really pretty badly. I had my hands in my coat pocket. I was running upstairs, and I tripped, and my face hit a stair. And I saw it in movies. And to be honest, I was a little drunk. So I just went in, and I looked in the mirror, and it was crooked. And I just went, oh! And straightened it.
How'd that feel?
It was the worst idea ever, but I never ended up having to go to the doctor. It was fine.
If a professional had done it, it would have hurt too.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it would have cost you a bunch of money.
Correct.
Right, exactly. All right, let's take Freddie real quick, and then we'll come back with your calls on this topic at 1-800-520-1067. We apologize if you're a little bit squeamish. Some of this may be hard to hear, but it also speaks to the inventiveness of man. And the human spirit.
Nice try.
We'll triumph. Hey, Freddie, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, what do you guys? I'll make it real quick here. I was a wrestler, kind of a WWE style. One of the stunts went wrong. I got hit with a chair. I got busted open on top of my head. It was about 12 inches.
Wait. A 12-inch gash on the top of your head?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty deep. I didn't have any medical insurance, so a buddy of mine and myself, we cleaned it up as best as we could, and we super glued it shut.
And did it hold?
It held, and his finger held for a little bit on my forehead, too, which was the funny part.
I can't get my hand off your head.
All right,
yeah, it was pretty gnarly.
Let me ask you this question, Freddie. Something like that, that's obviously an emergency, couldn't you go to the ER for that, even if you don't have any money?
Well, I mean, I could have, but we were out. We were so far. We were in Ventura, and you know Ventura is not the greatest area. It's like in the middle of nowhere.
Right, so but you're talking about a 12-inch gash on the top of your head. I mean, I would think head injuries more than any.
Yeah, I was young and stupid probably, too.
All right, but it worked.
It worked great. I mean, we just we squeezed the wound together to where the skin was touching the skin, and then we just put the super glue
good times.
Over it, and it held fine for a week. We took it off after a week, and it was like nothing ever happened.
Wow. Unbelievable. Wow, you got very, very lucky, Freddie. Thank you very much for the call. All right, 1-800-520-1067, your home medical procedures. We'll talk to you right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about medical procedures that you performed on yourself. Kevin, you were telling the story about resetting your own nose after you broke it. This listener, Eric, writes in, yeah, Eric, I would like to call BS on Kevin's story about resetting his own broken nose. You're standing by it before I go on to give you his reason why? Standing by it? It really happened? You really did?
It did happen. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, it was believable right up until the point where he said he did it in college. There's no way in hell that guy was accepted to college, much less attended one. So your story falls apart, sir.
I would like to top that by saying I graduated.
Now, you sit on a throne of lies.
That says more about the college than me. All right.
What did you do?
Let's try Chris Lied 2 on the Kevin Bean Show. You, for whatever reason, either you're cheap or desperate, had to perform surgery or some sort of medical procedure on yourself. Chris, what'd you do?
Hey, I broke my leg in three places. I was riding a dirt bike, and I went down, and it literally 180'd my leg.
Oh!
Yeah.
And then what did you do?
I stood up on it and twisted.
So you reset it?
Yeah, I reset it.
How, if your leg is broken, though, doesn't it need a cast in order to keep the bones together so that it can heal?
Well, I ended up having to go to the hospital the next day.
Yeah. So. Did they say that was dumb?
Yeah.
Did you get... hold on, here's the question.
They didn't have to reset it.
Because you had done it right?
Yep.
What are the chances?
That's unbelievable.
Did you get back on the bike that day?
I rode the bike to my truck.
My man.
I had someone help me load it, and I drove home.
All right.
Unbelievable. All right. Wow. Wow, that hurts just hearing the story. Thank you for the call. Let's go to line 5, please. We've got Clark on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show. Clark, thanks for hanging on. What happened? Your incident was just a month ago, right?
Yeah, mine was literally 4 weeks ago. I was actually cutting up some stuff, and I actually cut my finger down to the bone, and I took some nail glue and some dental floss and kind of half-assedly stitched it and nailed it, nail glued it back together.
And it still looks good?
Yeah, kind of. In a matter of speaking, it looks all right. I mean, I feel like the hospital, they said it looked good. So,
all right.
Not a good idea.
For the record, not a good idea. Okay, this is the first time we've heard not a good idea.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. Everyone else seems happy with the outcome.
Let's try Jason, line 8. Jason, again, we're talking about putting needles and blades next to your junk. You did that?
I had a cyst, and I guess I tried to, like, kind of pop it, and it, like, popped under the skin, so...
Oh.
Yeah, so I took my dad's a diabetic, so I took one of his needles, and I figured, you know, it's sterile, so I
try to like kind of cut it open a little bit to get the stuff out.
Now wait, that didn't. Ugh. I mean, I would pass out.
Yeah, I mean, there's some alcohol involved there.
Okay, all right,
okay, good,
all right.
Would you recommend it to others in the same situation?
Yeah, probably not. No.
Probably.
No.
Probably
not.
He's okay. Only going with probably, though.
All right, Jason, thanks for
that's
the call.
It's not a firm no.
You were talking about the jackass method of removing teeth with
a
car.
That's bad.
Here's Christine. When my boyfriend was little and still losing his teeth, his dad had a funny way of pulling a loose one out. He would tie a string around the tooth and then tie the other end to a doorknob and close the door as fast as he could. It worked. My boyfriend did not find it as amusing as his dad did.
Well, I mean, I would guess that that would work with a loose tooth that's already going to come out soon. But like I said, the jackass guy, what happened to his face? I mean, he broke...
It shattered the front part of his skull. Like, I mean, it really, because, I mean, your teeth are not just connected superficially. They're, you know, in your skull. They're drawn in there. And it, like, shattered the whole front part of it up by his nose, all up to his
That's
eyes.
The part you don't see in general.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's close with Steven. He's on line 3, and it sounds like he had an emergency situation. He didn't have any choice. Steven, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, dude?
Hey, We hired a midwife to help us deliver our baby, but she didn't show up in time. So
now, wait. So the midwife is, you're not going to the hospital. You're going to have a nurse or somebody come to your house and help you deliver the baby?
Exactly.
Because you guys are hippies.
Yeah, kind
of. All right.
Okay.
So she didn't show up in time.
She didn't show up in time, so I delivered my son.
Wow.
In the living room.
How about that? Now, that's understandable. I mean, the ones we're talking about, people are either too cheap or whatever, or
drunk.
Too scared to go. You don't have a choice. When a baby is getting ready to come out, you pretty much are on the spot. You have to do it. It's not like you can say, hold on and wait an hour.
Exactly.
But I would have fainted. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm a pussy when it comes to that, and I would have just fallen over.
That would have been so scary.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you have, had you guys had lessons or anything leading up to it where you kind of had a basic idea of what you were supposed to do, or were you totally just winging it?
I kind of was relying on knowledge from movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
Warm towel.
The towels boil water.
Exactly. Yeah. I pulled them out, I wrapped them up, and I handed them to her.
That's where you want to get your info from.
I always wonder why you boil water. What's up there?
Sterility.
What do you use the water
for?
What
are you sterilizing?
I think it's to sterilize stuff, but I didn't have anything to
Come on. You guys don't watch TV? It's to sterilize it.
But what?
I don't know anything further. You just sterilize it.
Sterilize what?
I don't know. The water. I don't know what you're sterilizing.
Steven, you're going to have a great story to tell your son that your son can tell for the rest of his life. That's awesome,
right,
man. Thanks for calling.
We need to take Lindsay because she is going to rain on our parade,
What? We're having fun here.
Lindsay's a nurse. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
Hi. So you're calling to bust our chops or what?
Yes, absolutely. Well, okay, first of all, the guy that boiled water, actually, they do teach us in an emergency delivery that is actually good to do.
Okay.
Okay, but what do you do with the water? That's the part none of us know. All we know is you're supposed to boil it, and then what do you put in it?
No, like any of the tools that you're using or towels, things like that, you're supposed to put in the boiling water and obviously looking cool.
So you use it as
tools.
So you use it as a sterilizing agent for anything that you're going to use.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you mean like the scissors that you use to cut the umbilical cord? You put those in the boiling water first.
Yeah,
That's what you're saying.
Okay.
Exactly.
Like, but other than that, you're down with what everyone has been saying, right?
No, of course not.
You're not down with
that. Definitely not.
What about the guy that reset his leg? That guy was cool.
He's crazy.
What?
And he's crazy.
What about the guy who super glued his severed finger back on? He was all right.
Yeah, no.
What about the guy that had a 12-inch gash in his head and he used super glue? That was cool.
You know, actually, I've heard that super glue works. I've never tried it myself, and I don't recommend it for anybody, but it is possible.
Lindsay, did you ever think you're just part of the system? You're just the man trying to get our money, and it drives you crazy that sometimes we can do something without you, without Big Brother looking over our shoulder? You ever think about that?
You know what? Definitely, I could see where these people are coming from because I personally don't have any medical insurance right now either.
Oh, good.
That's great. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to do what all these people were just saying and you're calling to tell us is a bad idea.
No, I would definitely go to the emergency room and get professional treatment. Yeah. It's like you guys said, you can still go to a hospital even without insurance.
Okay.
And they have to take you.
So don't do what all these people. It sounded like they were all happy. Like everything turned out fine.
All right, you know, Debbie Downer, we got to go, but thanks for calling, right?
All right, thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 8:56.
Yeah. What is that? What is
yeah.
Guys, I got some big news for you.
Oh, Jesus.
That means it's small news. Go ahead.
Oh, they found another bell from the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Nope. Better than that. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Red Hot Chili Peppers coming up after the top of the hour.
All right.
Come on.
All right.
That
for RCP. You. RCP.
Also, some Rise Against in the Silver Sun pickups. First, Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
Well, remember we said this week that there was some confusion at the home office of The Late Show with David Letterman regarding Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah.
Now, they booked her.
But
what happened? They booked her and then...
Someone called and said, Lindsay would love to do your show and come on and read a top 10 list. And Dave and company said, oh, that'd be awesome. And they released a press release saying... Tune in to hear Lindsay Lohan come on stage and do the top 10. It's going to be hilarious. And then Lindsay Lohan said, I never said anything about doing the David Letterman
show. She was completely
unaware of what they're talking about. And so egg on the face of Letterman and company because they said, this guy called claiming to be speaking for Lindsay Lohan said she wanted to do it. Apparently we were duped. Well, right. Now the story gets deeper.
Really?
Because guess who was the guy who called and said Lindsay Lohan would love to do the David Letterman show?
Lindsay's dad.
Michael Lohan has come forward.
How about that?
Are you kidding me?
Saying that he was the guy responsible for booking Lindsay on the David Letterman show.
He's the worst parent ever.
He really is.
Was this his attempt to get her to be forced to talk to him or something?
No, he thought it would be great for her to do because Letterman, remember, on the Grammys did a top 10 list, which made a Lohan joke about her stealing a Grammy. Remember?
Right, right, right.
And Michael called and said, oh, that was hilarious, and Lindsay loved it, and she would love to come on your show and do the top 10 list.
Listen, he's right that I think it would be great for her.
But that's what he thought.
But he didn't check with her?
Well, Michael says she loved the idea.
Ah.
But it was her publicist, Leslie Sloan, who, when she caught wind of that, put the kibosh on the whole idea, saying there's no way she would let Lindsay do it. So then Lindsay backpedaled and said, oh, I never said I was going to do the David Letterman
okay,
show.
Okay, so we think that she did
now,
talk to her dad?
If Michael's telling the truth, that this is all true, then she pretty much hung her father out to dry and followed her publicist's advice and didn't go through on doing the Letterman
that's
show.
That's the case if her dad was telling the truth, right. Which I highly doubt.
Well, here's the thing. You don't know.
I do know.
You do. I didn't realize that.
I don't really, but...
Yeah. He said, Lindsay Sloan ruined Lindsay's life and career. Every time I step up and do something positive for Lindsay, they stop it.
That's not his role. He's her father.
Leslie always covers up stories with more lies, he said about her publicist.
No one cares what Michael Lohan says or thinks.
He thought
no
showcasing one. Lindsay's sense of humor would be a good idea. But
I think it would be
apparently
too, but...
Team Lindsay decided that would not be the way to go.
I mean, what would you guys think? I think she should do it.
It'd be a huge PR boom if she was able to go and do
that. Nothing but a positive for her
but
to
having said that, her dad's crazy.
Yes. Having said that, it's true. If it wasn't for the long history of Michael Lohan being a loon, we'd be more apt, I think, to buy this story. And in this case, it may be the boy crying wolf. It may be true, and we just can't believe him, so...
Well, she clearly doesn't want to have anything to do with him, and he cannot speak on her behalf.
But remember, we were puzzled by why the Letterman people would just take the word of someone claiming to be speaking for Lindsay, saying they would book.
That didn't make sense, right?
Right.
If it was him, it does make sense.
If it does make sense, yeah. If it's Michael. So I'm sure he was the one who made the call. He is coming forward and admitting responsibility. But
wow.
Just another opportunity to screw up his daughter's life. So
wow.
That was strong. Speaking of screwed up people, Charlie Sheen did his second Dan Patrick radio show in 3 days.
Dan Patrick, for those of you that don't know, is a sports radio talk show host.
Yeah, he was one of the anchors on ESPN for a long time. Now he's got a sports talk radio show, and Charlie calls in, I guess, to talk baseball, presumably, because Charlie's a big baseball player. A ball player in school and still fancies himself a bit of a ball player. And they end up talking about other stuff. 2 days ago, they talked about the fact that Charlie said, you know, if you can handle crack socially, it's okay.
That's fine.
It's a good drug.
Yeah.
He called back to clear up some things, one of which was the fact that he was never drunk or high on the set, he said, of Two and a Half Men. He would come in wrecked sometimes from the night before and have to lean up against furniture or scenery in order to not fall over. He mentioned that. And then the conversation turned to Lindsay Lohan, how Charlie believes he could help her.
Yes.
And Dan asked him, well, what would you say?
What's your one piece of advice if I have Lindsay Lohan on?
Work on your impulse control. Just try to think things through a little bit before you do them. Now, check it. I was not there in the store. The necklace, the thing, some bracelet, who cares? I mean, it's they're so desperate to vilify without fact, you know.
Yeah. Well said, Charlie.
He wants to tell Lindsay Lohan to control her impulse control and to think things through.
Like he does.
Right.
Right.
He likes to lead by example, Kevin.
Right. And I know we keep coming up with alternate answers that would be better for Charlie Sheen, but how about trying this one on for size? I'm in no position to judge anyone else right now. I've got enough trouble dealing with my own issues, Dan.
Look, I'm screwing up my own life and career. Maybe I should worry about me and not about others.
There's not even a hint of that kind of understanding of himself. Not even a hint.
No. Good man. Good man. Nice guy.
He's got a long way to go before he hits rock bottom, and that's not good.
That's true. He's always been saying, look, let's get back to work because I'm sober right now.
Yeah.
So let's get in a couple episodes.
I can do it for like a week and a half.
Today's celebrity birthday is Renee Russo, the lovely and talented. She is 57 years old today. Lou Diamond Phillips. Remember La Bamba? Remember the Richard Valens story?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Oh, La Bamba.
Yeah.
Oh, La Bamba.
And he was last seen on that reality show in the jungles of Costa Rica with Spencer,
that's
remember?
Right. Yeah. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. And he acquitted himself really well on that show, I think.
Yeah.
I was hoping he would deck Spencer. I was hoping he would just punch him right in the head.
I don't know who any of those people are.
You know who they are.
Lou Diamond Phillips. Come
Lou
on.
Diamond.
He's La Damn Bamba.
I don't care who's La Bamba.
Didn't see that.
Young Guns,
he's 49 years old.
Young Guns.
He was the engine in Young Guns.
I didn't see it. What
you
do you want from
saw
me?
It.
All right, I saw
he's
it.
A knife specialist.
Right. And he also started a TV show that Lisa and I are the only people in America who watched, where he played a sheriff.
Wolf Lake.
Yep.
Wolf Lake. It was so good. He was so good on it.
Who gives
Lake.
A damn?
Wolf Lake.
Who gives a damn?
Larry the Cable Guy's 48 years old today.
All right.
A real talent.
Now he's got to take a Viagra to get her done. Because he's older now. Thank you, Psycho Mike. Somebody
File
appreciates
or no?
me.
File? That was all right.
Michael Jordan's 48 years old as well. Michael Bay, producer and director, is 46. Tim Mahoney of 311 is 41. Denise Richards is 40. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day is 39. Jerry O'Connell, our buddy from the
Hollywood Treasure, Jerry O'Connell?
Hollywood Treasure, Jerry O'Connell. He is 37. Jason Ritter from Joan of Arcadia and The Event is 31. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt celebrates his 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:45. I hear you.
You look tired.
You don't know, man. You don't know.
Exhausted. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean show, and then
we're all going to drink the Kool-Aid. It's mass suicide time. None of us can go on anymore. We're just over it.
Well, if you drink the Kool-Aid, the rest of us don't have to.
Right. You go first. We're right behind you.
Hey, wait a minute. You guys are gonna meet me there?
Yeah. We're all going.
We're all going to do it at the same time, about 10.
We're all getting on the Hale-Bopp Comet.
Yep.
You go first. Here's your Adidas tracksuit, and here's your roll of quarters.
$5. We'll be there.
That's right.
I don't like the set. That sounds like a setup.
No.
I need you guys to go first.
No, you go. You go. You're our esteemed leader.
All right, let's talk about show business news, shall we? Congratulations to Jessica Alba.
Oh!
Yes. Just for being hot?
No, she's gearing up for another trip to the maternity ward.
Boo.
Jessica is once again with child. Posted the happy news on her Facebook that her daughter, Honor, is going to have a little sister.
Honor.
Honor is her name. No word on what the next girl's name would be. I hope it's the American way for justice or something cool like that. Be awesome. Cash Warren, her husband.
Come on now!
Is thrilled about the upcoming edition. So congratulations to Jessica and Cash. Cash and Honor. Next one should be Chex. We honor Chex.
Cash. Stop doing what you're doing.
File.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Cash is his name.
Yep.
Got it?
I don't think you
Understood
do.
Understood it?
Heard you guys talking to Sylvester Stallone earlier in the show.
He's a painter, among other things.
He is a painter. Us Weekly Magazine has released a list of 25 stars who paint, consider themselves artists. Anthony Hopkins is on the list. I bet he's pretty good.
You wouldn't tell him otherwise.
That's true. Jeff Bridges. I've actually seen some of his work. He's quite good as well. Sylvester Stallone, as I mentioned. Tony Bennett. Viggo Mortensen. These are all guys I think are good.
Okay. Now the bad
without
list.
Without having seen them, I'm just assuming they're good.
Right.
Lindsay Lohan's on the list, for example.
I'm betting
not so much.
Not a painter.
Finger painting.
Ashley Simpson.
Nope.
Do you think she has the depth to be a true artist?
Not a bit.
David Arquette.
No.
What do you think about that?
Mm-mm.
No, I don't think so either.
I think Ashley Simpson is probably as good a painter as she is a singer.
Jay Wow from the Jersey Shore considers herself a painter.
Nope.
Come on, give her a chance.
Jennifer Aniston?
I don't know. I guess.
Paul Stanley of Kiss?
No, 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 no. Bad.
Pierce Brosnan? He might be good.
Maybe.
Huh? Yeah. David Bowie? Musician legend David Bowie.
It would be weird art, but it would be good, I think.
He was recently asked about his artwork, which he's dedicating a lot of time recently. In fact, Iman said he's not going to be recording much anymore. He's going to be focusing mostly on the graphic arts. Here's what Bowie had to say about his talent as a painter.
I am a real good painter. Huh. I am a real good painter. I am a real good painter. I am a real good painter. I am a real good painter.
Proud of his work as a painter.
I am a real good painter.
All right. I got that.
I am a real good painter.
Message received.
I am a real good painter.
He gets the sense that he is.
I am a real good painter.
Got some talent in that arena.
I am a real good painter.
A good painter.
Seems confident. I am a real good painter. Oh. Really, right. Really, really good painter. I am a real good painter.
Okay.
I am a real good painter. I am a real good painter. When I paint, it's really good. Take my brush and paint with it on a piece of canvas stretched over wood.
We know how it
works. I am a real good painter.
Okay.
I am a real good painter.
Message received.
Really, 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 really good painter. I am a real good painter. Look at my paintings. Aren't they good?
No, I haven't seen any of them. I really don't know.
His music has gone downhill since he started painting.
Oh, good for you.
Soundgarden's working on its first studio album in 15 years.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Is that a clip?
It's a clip from their first single. The band posted on their official website that the members are enjoying the reunion, and since the live show has been going so well, they wanted to get together and write some new songs and put them down. The last Soundgarden album was 1996. Can you believe that?
Well, they didn't need the money till now.
Oh, come on. Aren't you excited a little bit about Soundgarden music?
Yeah.
I think they're very talented.
You want to hear a new Soundgarden?
Do you have it?
Yeah, I have it.
Dippin' on some scissors. Dippin' on some scissors. Dippin' on some scissors.
Wow, different sound.
That is definitely a new style. Speaking of music, VH1's bringing back its Storytellers series. I loved that show.
I did too.
Great lineup. It's, the 15th anniversary of Storytellers, by the way. All new episodes featuring some of today's hottest singer and songwriters instead of the established veterans. That's how they used to do it. You know, they'd bring Springsteen on or right. Clapton or somebody, and they would tell you how they wrote their body of work. But this is a great lineup. It begins in May. Kings of Leon.
Okay.
CeeLo.
Good.
Death Cab for Cutie. Maxwell. My Morning Jacket. And Ray LaMontagne. Wow. It's a good lineup. I would like to hear those people talk about their work. And lastly, in international TV, you know, I like to give the international TV updates from time to time.
Oh, you do that all the time. You're known for it.
Well, yesterday I brought you the nude chef, remember, in Hong Kong.
She was trying to,
Naked chef.
Naked chef. She was going to be cooking in the nude except for a plastic apron.
Yeah, she's pretty
cute,
too.
That was a great tip. Yeah.
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 This story comes from China.
Hey!
A Chinese animal rights group wants TV stations to stop showing a magician named Fu Yangdong.
Hey!
Why?
He's become a huge television attraction ever since his New Year's Eve special, which he somehow got six goldfish to swim in formation in a tank.
Wow.
That's impressive.
It is impressive. However, animal activists are afraid he's using magnets inside the fish. He's stuffing them with magnets and then using magnets to control the fish's pattern of swimming.
Can we talk to him?
Now, Fu Yangdong... denies that he uses magnets in the trick, but he won't say how it's used because of the magician's code.
He's
can't reveal your secrets.
Oh, you don't say that. You don't give it up.
But the head of one activist group said, goldfish are small creatures that anyone can easily buy and abuse or even kill. Fu Yangdong responded with, if I used magnets, the fish would stick together. See? People are so stupid.
They really are.
Are they suggesting that...
Are they suggesting that he put metal inside them and then they automatically are dragged by a magnet that's out of sight in a certain direction?
Yes, that's what they're suggesting. He fills them with, you know, metal shavings or something, or puts magnets inside the fish themselves and then uses other magnets to control them.
That is not sexy.
What I love is China is a country where goldfish have more rights than people do.
Yeah, that's true.
People are up in arms about the goldfish in China.
Yeah, don't worry about the people starving.
How about those people?
Are in jail.
How about the people, the political prisoners, the people who have been kidnapped and tortured just for speaking out against the government?
That guy might be using a magnet in a fish.
Let's get the magician to work on those problems. Can he make someone reappear out of a jail cell or something? Freaking goldfish.
That would be more useful.
Yeah. So anyway, he may not be on TV for long in China. I hope Fu Yangdong has a long career ahead of him. Yeah, we can talk to Fu Yangdong tomorrow.
We can only hope.
We can only hope. Today's celebrity birthdays. I want to give a very special shout-out to Doto, friend of the show, Doto. Doto is celebrating his birthday today. We have no idea how old he is.
We were guessing before we went on the air, and it was wildly different.
Yes.
He could be 25, he could be 50. There's no way to tell with Doe.
We might have to cut him open and count the rings. That's what I'm
doing. You know, I like to multitask, Ralph. During this report, I emailed Doto and wished him a happy birthday and said we'd like to speak to him on the radio tomorrow and find out how he celebrated. So maybe we'll get the answer to that question tomorrow here on the show.
Dan Buffet.
LA. Probably that guy. What would he need him for?
L.A. King great Luke Robitaille celebrates his 45th birthday.
That's right. Left him off earlier.
Kings last night won in a shootout, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah, good game last night. Tough one for the Ducks, though.
Coming on strong.
6-6 with the Caps till the very end of the third period, and then they lost 7-6.
So it was a defensive battle.
It was.
13 goals.
It was like last shot wins, pretty much, was how they went. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is 30. Paris Hilton is also 30. Jason Ritter is 31. Jerry O'Connell, our buddy from the Defenders on CBS, is 37 years old. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day is 39. Denise Richards turns 40. Tim Mahoney of 311 is 41. Producer-director Michael Bay is 46. NBA legend Michael Jordan is 48, as is Larry the Cable Guy. Lou Diamond Phillips, who I found out was just on Chuck last night.
Oh.
See, Kevin?
How about that?
He is still working hard as we speak.
I don't know who he is.
I don't know who he is. I've never seen a little bomber.
Never seen face.
He's 49, and actress Renee Russo is 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Friday morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Matt Money Smith in the studio to talk sports. As this is NBA All-Star Weekend, we have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have Justin Bieber Hates America. We have Bean is a bad commercial spokesman.
Oh, How dare you?
I wasn't going to come in tomorrow, but now I will.
We have Diana Agron, who plays Quinn. On Glean, who's also in I Am 4. And we have LaQuisha reviewing Jersey Shore. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.